Good morning. If you'd all join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming before your throne and knowing that the concerns, the requests we have, Lord, really are as important to you as they are to us. We thank you for Ken and Rick Toming being with us today. And Lord, we pray for their ministry in India and the many challenges that they face from other religions, from the government, and Lord, they are on the front line. And we pray for your being with them and with the believers there, strengthening your church. And we pray that you might influence the government of India also, that they would withdraw any hostility that they have for Christianity. But we pray for their strength. We pray for the schools, the orphanages, and the other churches that Reverend Toming works with and oversees, and that you would bless them. And Lord, may your church in India be strong and be obviously your church, Father. And we pray all of that in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for our dear brother, Mark Dix, who had open heart surgery this week. And we pray that you would help him to continue to heal. We pray for his pain management, Lord, that would be totally under control for such a traumatic to the body surgery. And we pray that, Lord, you would bring him home from the hospital this week and help him recover there. And be with Susan, Lord, and all the many, many hours she is spending with Mark. Bless them, draw them both closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we pray for others among us that are ill, whether they're here with us or at distance, that you would be with them, that you would draw them close to you, and that illness and bad circumstance, anything else that affects lives, would be a method of drawing our hearts closer to you, and that we would see your strength and your love. In Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you that Haley Dodrill had a good diagnosis of her ongoing cancer, that it is not as nearly bad as it could be. And we pray for her strength, for her healing, for the treatment she's still undergoing. And Lord, that you would remove any of the side effects of the medication and of the disease. But Lord, we praise you that what could have been much worse was not. In the name of Jesus, amen. And Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts as we hear from your word today, from Reverend Toming, that we would hear from you through him. In the name of Christ, amen.
Let's all stand and hear God's word. Taken from Philippians chapter 1, reading from verses 7 through 11. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chain or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. It is a great joy for me and my wife to be here. I was here many years ago when the church began, sometime in 1988 or 1999. Many of you were not probably there. So I came back after a couple of years, and then when Eric Irwin was pastoring, I think I came about three or four times here. So every time I came, we felt so much welcome, and it is like our home church. Thank you very much. And this morning, I want to share from the Word of God. You know, our excitement knew no bounds when our three years and three months ago, when our first grandson was born. We were so excited. And our excitement grew as he began, our grandson has begun to sit. And it grew as he began to walk. It grew as he began to stand and run. Now he can run now. Just imagine if our grandson could not grow. What a sad thing it will be. How unfortunate it will be. How heartbreaking it will be. In a similar way, believers, God expects us to grow. And here Apostle Paul has pointed out three areas where he wanted we believers to grow. To grow until the Lord's day, and to grow to the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, that is in verse 9, the Apostle Paul prayed for the church in Philippi that they might grow in love. Apostle Paul is talking about, I think, one particular love here, because the Bible often referred to four or five kinds of love. Here, the scripture is referring to particularly agape love. Love which is unconditional. Love which has no string attached. Love which doesn't expect a return. It is the love of Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross for you and for me. That's the kind of love Apostle Paul wants us to grow. You know, we can grow in different kinds of love. We can love our dog, we can love our home, we can love all kinds of our property, maybe even our friends. That's wonderful. I think we should grow in that aspect of love. But here Apostle Paul is particularly talking about us as believers growing in that agape love, love which is unconditional, love which Christ has shown towards us when we were yet sinners. And the kind of love that Apostle Paul here talking about is love that can love the unlovable. I mean, it's easy to love your friends, easy to love somebody who loves you, easy to love somebody who can pay you back and who can return your love. But loving somebody who cannot return, who cannot pay you back, who is not even loving, who is not even lovable. That's the kind of love that we want, that Apostle Paul wants the church in Philippi to grow towards. And further, Jesus Christ said on the cross when he died, when he was dying, that, "Father, forgive them because they do not know what they do." the kind of love that Apostle Paul wants us to grow is in loving not only the unlovable, but even our enemies. He said, pray for those who mistreat you. I mean, you can't pray for people that you don't love. You know, when we were going through this persecution in Manipur, starting on the 3rd of May 2023, we were so badly persecuted by the Hindu extremists in Imphal city. Within 1 week, they burned down 2,500 churches. They killed about 300 people. Just the mob came, and some of them were, you know, behind the mob with automatic rifles, started killing and burning. So thousands and thousands of people had to leave their villages, their towns, and their property. And they paraded women naked, raped them, and killed them brutally. And that was the time when we were thinking about praying for our enemies. And I was asked to preach that day on loving your enemies. When you have real physical enemies who is there, out there to kill you and destroy you, it's hard to pray and to love. Jesus Christ said, feed your enemy when they're hungry and thirsty. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Bless those who kill you. Bless those who paraded your women naked and raped them and killed them. It's inconceivable, humanly speaking. How can you do that? Do good to those who do evil to you. Overcome good. Overcome evil with good. Give to those who need you if they ask, even your enemies. Clothe your enemies if they're naked. What a teaching. It's so different from the world teaching. And the love that Apostle Paul wants us to grow is towards loving your enemies. I think this love is best described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The scripture tells us that love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is how Apostle Paul wants us to grow in our love. How wonderful it will be if we love one another this way. Husband and wife will be in good terms, will enjoy life. Children and their parents will have good relationship. Churches will have peace and loving, congenial relationship. Apostle Paul wants us to grow towards this love until the Lord's coming, for the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Make sure that we grow towards this love. The second, found in verse 10, Apostle Paul wants the church in Philippi to grow in discernment. Apostle realized how critical and pertinent is decision-making in believers' lives. I know we make decisions every moment. We make decision from birth to death. We make decision from young age to old age. We make decision from morning till evening, even in our dreams. No, I had a dream sometimes that I have to make decision in my dream whether I should jump or I should not, whether I should do this or not. Life is decision making, discernment. And here Apostle Paul instructs the church that you must discern what is good, yes, but what is better than good. Apostle Paul says that you must discern what is the best. That will not keep you ashamed on the day of Jesus Christ. That the decision, the kind of decision you make, the discernment you make will not put to shame on the judgment day when Jesus make a judgment on the day of Jesus Christ. Our senior lady in our church prayer meeting one time said in our prayer meeting that, you know, my prayer is only for my children and grandchildren, is that they will not make a wrong decision. I pray for them every day that my children and my grandchildren will make the best decision, the right decision that will honor God and that will not put them to shame on the day of Jesus Christ. I thought that was wonderful. The Philippians live in a Roman colony, and they live in a Caesar's culture, and they were surrounded by pagan temples, and they were influenced by competing philosophies. In the midst of that, Apostle Paul instructs. Maybe many of them in that church have made a wrong decision, maybe have fallen into the sins of the world. Apostle Paul instructs them to be very careful and make the best decision. So discernment is the ability to choose between good, better, and best. What is best and what is blameless? That will make us confident on the day of Christ. Our choice of words, action, and thinking must focus on the glory and the praise of God. About 20 years ago, Ruth and I, my wife and I, were badly humiliated by one person that we knew him for years. He kept on repeating, and finally we decided that we should encounter him. So we encountered him and asked him to stop this abuse and this insult. He said he was not the one. He defended himself, and rather he told us in return that he will take us to the court of law and sue us for defamation. We knew that he was the one who was responsible in abusing us, insulting us. We were thinking, praying about it, whether we should defend if he really takes us to the court. So after a week or two of praying, we decided, no, we should go to him and ask him to forgive us. We could have defended ourselves. Christ on the cross he knew that all the accusation upon him was false and wrong, and yet he asked forgiveness. So as follower of Jesus Christ, as believer, we went to his house and asked for forgiveness. Traditionally, when you go to somebody's house, you take house. In our tradition, you take juice and maybe some tea, Indian tea, and ask for forgiveness. They refused to forgive for some time, but finally they decided to forgive. It's hard to ask for forgiveness when you know you're right. When you're wrong, it's a bit easier. A lot of people would not even ask for forgiveness, even though they know that they're wrong. But when you know that you are right, and yet you have to ask for forgiveness, that's the kind of discernment that Apostle Paul is talking about. And let me also share one testimony, not mine, but I went to, my wife and I, we went to visit one of our churches in Guwahati, which is one of the largest cities in the northeast India. We started a church there called Pilankata Church, Pilankata Presbyterian Church. We always put Presbyterian after that. And one of the deacons who was almost to his, well, he's already retired, gave his testimony after a long sermon. You know, we preached about 1 hour. I know Mary Ann reminded me that keep 35 minutes. Keep your sermon to 35 minutes, and I'm doing it. Mary Ann, I'm doing it. Okay. After a long sermon of about 1 hour, and this deacon at our Pilankata Church, came up and said, I've been so bitter against God for the last 1 year. But now, he said, I realize, because he was bitter, because he had cancer. And the doctor diagnosed that he had cancer. And so for about 1 year, he was struggling. And he was very bitter against everything. And he had this depression. And he used to be very jolly, very flamboyant in a church, but he was so down, discouraged, and basically bitter against God. But he said, after listening to the Word of God, to the sermon, he said, I forgot something. God has been so good since birth, and he brought me to the age of 74. Now I'm 75. Why? I'm so bitter against God. He said, I forgot the blessings and the goodness that God has demonstrated to me for the last 74 years. And I complain, and I make this 1 year of knowing that I have cancer block, hinder my joy of seeing God's goodness for the last 74 years. What a discernment. You know, in our lives many times, there's so much to thank God for. There's a song, there's a hymn that count your blessings one by one. We forget to count our blessings, especially my friends in America. You're so blessed. You're so blessed. And sometimes we still are very bitter against God. We want more and more. Count your blessings. 1 year of cancer is nothing compared to 74 years of no cancer. How about that? What a discernment. What a discernment. So Apostle Paul wants us to grow in that kind of discernment that will honor him and that will bring glory and praise to the living God. In verse 11, Apostle Paul prays for the church in Philippi, that they would grow in bearing the fruits of righteousness. We are made righteous by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ imputed in us, I like the King James English, in us his righteousness. In fact, John Calvin, you know, one of his writings said that Jesus Christ, I mean, the God has a goggle, sunglass, and his sunglass is Jesus Christ. God wears Jesus Christ's sunglass, and he sees in you, not your sin anymore, but he sees in you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We were made righteous by him, by his sacrifice. And the Spirit of God indwells us. And the Spirit of God indwells us. That indwelling Spirit is to bear the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of righteousness. In fact, the Bible didn't use that plural form, but the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. And those of us who are indwelled by the Spirit cannot bear the fruits of the flesh. If we have Christ in us, if the Spirit indwells us, if the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed in us, logically, we are to bear not the fruit of the flesh, but the fruit of righteousness, because the righteousness is in us. And the Bible says that live by the Spirit, and let your life be led by the Spirit. And in the Scripture instructs us to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, from verse 6. We are to demonstrate love when there is so much hatred and hostility in our culture, in this world. Just imagine the world that we live. There's so much hate. We feel very nice around Christians, though. But like in India, and especially where we live in Manipur, there's so much hate and hostility. Even as I speak, there'll be people taken to jail. There'll be people fighting and killing. Hatred and hostility is rampant. And we're called to bear the fruit of love. Demonstrate love. And the Scripture says that in the world of despair and jealousy, show joy. Be joyful. Rejoice evermore. For this is the will of God concerning you. There's no reason not to rejoice for you and for me who are believing and following in Jesus Christ. If you don't find joy in anything else, the Bible says that you should be happy because your name is written in heaven. That overweight everything. We don't look for joy. We often look for sadness. In this world of despair and jealousy, we should be the one to be joyful and bring joy to people. The Bible says that be a peacemaker in the world of strife and discord. There is so much of discord and strife in this world, even in churches. We talk a lot about churches, and how pastors and elders in some churches cannot even go together, are not in one accord. Yesterday we talked about difficult people in church. Not only in church, even at home, we have so much of discord. And there we are to make peace. In Manipur right now, I've been requested by our government to be a peacemaker. When two community fights, there has to be a peacemaker. I always volunteered if it is for peace. The Bible says, run after peace. Be so happy and seek peace in the midst of discord and strife. We should be peacemaker. Christians are to be peacemaker. Right now, even as I speak, there's war in Myanmar close by. And the war in Iran right now is, we have ceasefire. I think we should be praying for peace in this world. We should be peacemaker. We should pursue peace. And we should be, as we bear the fruits of the Spirit, we should be showing patience in the world of impatience and outburst. The scripture tells us that you should bear, grow in kindness, and we should grow in kindness in the world of cruelty and selfishness. The scripture tells us to grow in goodness in this world of evil and impurity. The scripture tells us to be faithful in this world of treachery, idolatry, and sorcery. The scripture tells us to be gentle in this world of harshness and brutality. The scripture tells us to have self-control in the world of drunkenness, orgies, and indulgences. We must bear the fruits of righteousness and grow in that fruit. Jesus said, I do not come to steal, but I have come to give you life and life abundant. When we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, we have this life abundant. In closing, I want to read a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And this man, when I read through, it touches my heart and moved my heart so much that he is the person who grew in love, who grew in discernment, and who grew in bearing the fruit of righteousness. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. My friends, let's grow in love. In love, loving the unlovable, and even in loving our enemies. Let us grow in a discernment that will honor God till the day of the Lord for the glory of God and for the praise of God. And let us bear the fruits of the Spirit, and let us grow in bearing the fruits of the Spirit until the day of the Lord for his glory and honor. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Help us not just the hearers of your word, but the doers of your word. Give us that strength. We cannot live the life that is growing in love, that is growing in discernment, that is growing in righteousness, unless the Holy Spirit strengthen us, equip us, and make us grow. We ask for the Holy Spirit to empower us, to make us, making for us possible to live out the life that will honor you and bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name.